I invite you to have your Bibles open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's where we'll be this evening. I want to take a few minutes to look at some instruction that Paul gives a young preacher that is applicable not only to preachers, but to all of us that are here tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look at verses 13 through 16. Just real briefly, to get the full context of the paragraph, it actually starts in verse 11, when Paul admonishes Timothy to teach and to preach these things, or English Standard says command and teach these things. And in verse 12, he reminds Timothy to let no one despise his youth, but to be an example in speech and in conduct and in love and in faith and in purity. And then we get to verse 13. He says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hand on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, very quickly, we can tell in this context by a couple of the things that Paul says. He is speaking specifically to Timothy as a young preacher. How do we know that? Well, verse 11, he's told to teach and to command these things. Verse 16, he says, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. So he's talking to one that is in a public format that is speaking. But I want to suggest, and for us to consider, that what Paul is recommending to Timothy as a young preacher here should be applicable to all of us. And that we need to take what he has to say to heart for all of us in this passage. About the devoting of ourselves to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching, to not neglect the gifts you have. And so that's what we want to consider tonight. So we want to consider Paul's admonition not just to preachers, but to all Christians. Because if you really consider it, a preacher is first and foremost a Christian. And a lot of what the preacher has put on him to do should be applicable to all Christians. The preacher should not be the only one that has a good Bible knowledge. Otherwise, how do you know when false doctrine is being taught? Preacher's not the only one who should be evangelizing, because if so, then the only people who will hear the gospel are that person's social circle and point of contacts. Preacher should not be the only one who visits the sick, because what if the preacher is the one that's sick? I mean, you could continue on and on. There are certain things that a preacher has a specific responsibility to do. But what Paul is talking about here, public scripture reading, exhorting one another, encouraging one another, being a good example, those are all things that all of us should be doing. And so I want us to consider that in that light tonight. And I give this preface to begin with because I don't want someone saying after services, "Ah, well, that's just to the preacher." These are things that are applicable to all of us. All right, so let's start looking at it now. He starts with saying, give attention to reading. We want to consider first that idea of giving your attention. If I tell you to pay attention, what am I asking you to do? Block out outside forces and listen in closely to what I have to say. You know, there were times where teachers and continuing education providers would say something that would really bother me. They would say, I want you to quit taking notes and pay attention to me. Ever heard someone say that? Bothers me when people say that. Because the best way I pay attention is by taking notes, often. Because if I write it as you're saying it, I will remember it. But why did they say those statements? Because they wanted no distraction. No piece of paper to doodle on. No other thoughts coming in. They wanted to see your eyes watching them as they stressed upon you something important. When we talk about the words, give your attention, you put this at the forefront of your mind. You take ample care to ensure that you are participating in this, that you are recognizing this. And so when Paul tells Timothy, give attention to, and then he lists these other items, he's saying, Timothy, this is important. Should not be neglected. Should not be considered as minor. You know, if we talk about public reading of Scripture, a lot of us might think that's something minor, just to sit and read Scripture. It's an important part of ourselves as Christians. And so he starts with, give your attention to reading. In Timothy's case, it could involve a few different things. One would be the actual public reading of Scripture that we know from the Bible is a part of this time period. If you look all throughout the book of Acts, you will find different times in which the church was assembled and they read Scripture publicly, where they were in the synagogues reading Scripture. Jesus had the custom in Luke chapter 4 of going into the synagogues and reading Scripture. And that would be more than just reading it. There would be some teaching along with it, but we'll get to that in a moment because he says exhortation, so these are two separate items. When you had these letters that Paul would write to the churches, they would be told to read them among themselves. He would say, read the letter that is coming to you from Laodicea. And so there was a custom of just simply public Scripture reading. Just simply reading through what the Bible has to say or what God's Word has to say. And you know, we do that. We did it this morning. Luke did it for us. We have public Scripture reading. Personally, I think it's something we don't do enough in services. Just simply read Scripture. When I was at Humboldt, one of the things that was very important to me that I haven't stressed here is I wanted public Scripture reading at both services on Sunday. And so we did that. It takes an extra couple of minutes. But there needs to be more attention to public reading. I prefer, as we do here at Rock, the Scripture reading to line up with the sermon because hopefully it gets your mindset already established. But I appreciate congregations such as Jerry Whitson and Cookville. They read through the Bible in a year in their assembly. And so the Scripture readings are already laid out for everyone to read. And they read through the books of the Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. It starts every service with 5 minutes given to Scripture reading. 15 minutes a week, they read through the Bible in the entire year. I appreciate that as well, because it's something we just don't do enough of. We need to be paying attention to Scripture reading and giving use to it in our assemblies. But let me just also say, this could be referring to private study as well. As would be another custom of the church, they would be meeting in each other's homes, Acts chapter 2, and throughout the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they were searching the Scriptures daily. Searching the Scriptures daily implies that they're doing it as a group. How are they doing it as a group? Unless they're giving attention to public reading of Scripture. In even a small private setting, it's still public reading of Scripture because they're doing it amongst one another. And it could also infer that it is a private, personal reading. I tend to disagree with that mindset because of the next word being exhort. Are you exhorting yourself? Then how do you have hearers at the end of it? So I think this is more in a group setting or in a public setting. But I think the point needs to be made that we need to give attention to reading as a congregation, in small groups, and as individuals. And small groups can be family groups. I appreciate families who take time every night to read the Bible together. That is a great way to make it stress as important to your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whoever. There needs to be attention made to the reading of Scripture. And if you think about what it is we're reading, can we really get enough of it? If I want to serve God with a full and devoted heart, then I need to know what He says. If I'm concerned with, am I doing something that's scripturally wrong or right? I understand sometimes we call one another to ask opinions and ask for advice because maybe there's something in Scripture we haven't seen. But do we take time to go to the Scriptures and read them? You know, there was a study that once said one of the most neglected items in a household is the family Bible. And it's sad and it's true. There is not enough time given to Scripture reading. And we should be spending it day by day. So he says, give attention to reading. And then he says, to exhortation, to exhorting others. In Timothy's case, it is going to likely be referring to his preaching. To his preaching and his teaching of the Word. And what am I doing up here tonight? I'm hoping to exhort you. And the key of all of this, I failed to mention that to begin with, and the title of the lesson is, that our progress might be evident, or evident progress. We'll catch that in just a few minutes. But this is an important part of our progress as Christians. Reading the Scriptures and exhorting with the Scriptures. But you know, exhortation is not a role that is limited to the preacher. Elders should exhort. Deacons should exhort. The older women are told in Titus to exhort the younger women, and the older men the younger men. Exhortation is not to me alone. We all should be exhorting one another and encouraging one another and working together for the glory of God. And it's important. Give your attention to this. You know, he's not saying give your attention to public reading. Oh, and exhort and teach. It's give attention to public reading. Give attention to exhorting. Give attention to teaching. Number three. And in this case, it's most likely referring to doctrine. Some translations even use the word doctrine here. What do we mean when we say doctrine? What do we... In anything we talk about, what do we mean by doctrine? The rules in which we live by? The code by which we stand or fall? What to do, what not to do, what's right, what's wrong? Doctrine is the collective sum of our teaching. What is the opposite of doctrine? Opinion. Timothy, pay attention to opinions. That's not what the most important part is. It's the doctrine. And where do we get the doctrine? From the public reading of Scripture. We get it from the Word of God. Paul is charging Timothy to pay attention to doctrine. To be devoted to doctrine. To be concerned with doctrine. And what is the purpose? As we know, he talks to Timothy about in his next letter. Because having itching ears, they will heap up for themselves false teachers. Why are we concerned about doctrine? Why not just let everything go so that everybody's happy? Because that jeopardizes souls. We pay attention to doctrine because we are concerned with following only God's will. And when man's will comes into play, that's vain worship, as we looked at this morning in a part of our lesson. And so I'm concerned with doctrine, and we should be concerned with doctrine, so that this congregation isn't led on a wrong path, and the souls here are jeopardized by it. We pay attention to doctrine so that we stand firm where God has spoken, regardless of how others may feel about it. And that's why he's not told to pay attention to opinions. He's told to pay attention to doctrine or teaching. And then the other thing he's told to pay attention to, in verse 14, he says, do not neglect the gift you have. Now, before you say, he doesn't say pay attention, what is the opposite of paying attention? Neglecting to listen. Or neglecting to consider. So he words it a little bit differently, and he says, do not neglect the gift you have. And here specifically, what is he talking about? Well, he says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders lay their hand upon you. In Timothy's case, this is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do any of us have those gifts today? So how is this applicable to us? Well, the word gift, or talent, or skill, appears in the book of Romans. Different roles are mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And so we all have different abilities that God has given us that we should be using for the kingdom. The talents that we have, are we using them for the glory of God? Or are we hiding them away, not concerned with utilizing them for the glory of God? We should be using what God has granted us, what He has gifted us with, what abilities we have. If we're able to lead singing, we need to be leading singing. If we're able to teach, we need to be teaching. If we're able to visit, we need to be visiting. If we're able to encourage, we need to be encouraging. Whatever talents we have, we need to be using and not neglecting. It's important that we use our skills for the needs of our brethren and for the needs of the church, that God may be glorified and the church may grow. So, this is what Paul tells Timothy to pay attention to. And he says there in verse 15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. It should be noticeable that we're paying attention to reading of Scripture, that we're paying attention to exhorting and to teaching and to using our gifts, because we should be progressing. Hebrew writer says something about this when he says, by now you ought to have been teachers. It should be evident by what's taking place if we're growing or not. And how does Paul say that he not only pays attention to these things, but he tells him to practice them and immerse himself in them? That's taking up a step further. We recognize that we need to do it, and we begin doing it. But practice, what does it mean, practice? I do it one time and I give up because it doesn't work out. That's not practice. That's my sports career as a little leaguer and basketballer or whatever it was. One time, give up and done. Practice is the regular, habitual doing of it. You know, if your kids have practice for soccer, is it every fifth Tuesday at 2 o'clock on odd numbered months? Being funny here, no. Most of the time practice is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, from 3 to 5 o'clock, etc. Because it is a regular, habitual, scheduled practice. something we regularly do, and Paul takes it a step further, you not only practice these things, you immerse yourself in them. We're immersing ourselves in the Scriptures. What does that look like? We're spending regular, consistent time in them. How were the Jews in Berea more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. Sounds like they were immersed in the Word of God. And so that's the second point of this lesson. For our progress to be evident, we need to be giving of ourselves entirely to it. We don't need to make a half commitment. We need to be making a full commitment to what is needed for the kingdom. And so, here when he says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, that your progress may be evident. One of the things that would be involved in this is meditation. You know, if we're considering the Scriptures, we're meditating on them. We're considering them. We're trying to dwell on them that we can better understand what God has told us in His Word. And so if we're giving ourselves entirely, we're meditating, we're considering, we're applying it into our lives. You know, when we have any new knowledge that we learn from school, or we learn it from continuing education providers, what is the purpose of that knowledge being imparted upon us? So that we can pass the test? It's what it is for many, but what is the actual purpose that the instructor is hoping you will do? Is that you will take it, and you will apply it, and you will continue in it. We're meditating on the Scriptures, allowing them to impact our mind. And in the decisions we make, we're considering what God would say, what God would have to say. We're considering God's Word at all times in life. What would God do? What would God want me to do? Would God be pleased in this? Would He be displeased in this? We need to be meditating on the Scriptures. We need to be concerned about ourselves. Verse 16. Keep close watch on yourself. Are we neglecting ourselves? Are we neglecting our own spiritual development? Are we neglecting our own brethren? Are we neglecting opportunities that present themselves? Are we neglecting our gifts and our skills that we have? It's very easy to see what someone else should be doing. But are we taking time to consider what should I be doing? What is needed for me? Am I growing? Am I progressing? Am I concerned? Or am I neglecting myself? And then Paul takes it a step further. Take heed on yourself. Be watchful on yourself and your teaching. Be considerate about the doctrine. Are we being true to God's Word? Or are we spinning some mindset that falls in line with what we want instead? Now, how many people do we know twist Scriptures to make it fit their agenda? Are we one of those? Twisting and turning to make it fit what we want? Or are we staying true to what God has said and leaving it there? Are we making sure that what's being taught in the pulpit is correct? I can be incorrect. Preachers can be wrong without realizing it. Sometimes they can be wrong intentionally. And are we concerned if false doctrine is being taught? And if we learn that it is intentional and it's false doctrine, are we putting a stop to it? And teaching against it before the congregation is taken captive by it? Are we paying attention to what's going on? And then he says, keep close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. Or some versions, continue in this. These do not need to be forgotten. These are not things that are here for one day, or we're going to do it for the rest of this year. We need to be paying attention to the public reading of scriptures from now till Jesus comes. We need to be concerned with exhorting one another from now until Jesus comes. We need to be concerned about the doctrine and the teaching from now till Jesus comes. And we need to be concerned that we're using our gifts for the glory of God from now till Jesus comes. It does not end, my friends. We need to be continually working in it. And so that's what Paul's saying. Is this isn't your first year of preaching, and second year you'll move on to harder topics. Or, this isn't level one, when you progress to level two, we'll forget this part. Continue to do these things. Continue to be involved in them. Continue to be paying attention and not neglecting them. And what is the purpose of all of this? I've said it so our progress may be evident. And that's true, but here's the real purpose that he finishes out in this verse. So he says, persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself, and your hearers. What benefit is this? Salvation of self, salvation of others. And there is no greater gift we could ever have than the salvation of our souls. Timothy, this is important. Pay attention. This is important. It is equally as important to everyone in this room tonight. Regardless if you're the preacher, a Bible class teacher, a member, a non-Christian, all of this is equally important to every one of us. Because in doing so, we will save not only ourselves, but Lord willing, others with us. Are you progressing? Is your progress evident? Because you're doing more and more and taking on more and more. Or is your progress evident? Because you're involved in what needs to happen? Because you're taking care of what the Lord needs? Is your progress evident? Because you know more about God's will than you did at the beginning of this year? This is something we need to be working on day by day, my friends. And maybe today I didn't progress, but tomorrow I'm trying harder to. Am I concerned with progressing until Jesus comes again? That's a question for each of us to consider tonight. As you consider it, if you realize that you are not in a right state with God, you need to make that right tonight. If you need to come to Him to be His child or to come back to Him, the salvation of your soul is dependent upon your willingness to devote yourself to God. And while it sounds like He's asking for a lot, when you consider that the reward is eternal, 120 years here even would be nothing in comparison. God asks for little and gives so much in return when you really consider it in the grand scheme of things. And so tonight, if you're considering your progress and realizing But you need assistance with that. You need the prayers of this congregation or whatever it may be. I invite you to please come and be right with Him as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.